ministry and music, I can go home. And thank you, Lemmy Beth, for your hard work in leading the choir. But there's still more to come. God has spiritual food just for you and for me this day. And night by night, we've been so blessed to have David and his team lead out. And I know that you're in for a treat. One of the things that I've come to learn from David very, very quickly is that he loves Jesus and is not just someone who glances through the Word of God, someone who digs in deep to know what it says so that he can stand on truth. And as he has found truth, he can't help but share truth. And so I know that you will be blessed this morning. And without further delay, David, please come on up and share some words of truth.
Well, happy Sabbath. I have to make a disclaimer from the very beginning. Throughout the course of this message, I'm going to be saying good evening a lot. You would please forgive me. You are in church, and so you should do that. Amen? All right, so please forgive me. I know it's daytime. I know it's bright outside, but it's just a habit that I have because I preach at night. Well, I was really blessed with the church service so far. Amen? The orchestra, beautiful. The song that we just heard touched my heart. I want to praise the Lord for the leadership in this church that invited me to be here and all the work that entails in making this event happen. I want to praise God for this church and for all those that have done so much to making this happen. We are thankful to be here. We are so blessed to be in beautiful Oregon. I've told my wife a number of times I would like to live here. And so we will see what happens and we will see how the Lord leads. But my wife is petrified of mountain lions, and it seems like you guys got some of those, including Bigfoot, I hear. And so I don't know if we will make our journey here for sure, but we are all going to the same place. Can you say amen? Amen? We are going home, and that's what we're thankful for. We're looking forward to that great day where God takes us home. Well, friends, I just want to do a little friendly reminder of what this week is going to be looking like, or this weekend's going to be looking like. Tonight, we have a very important message. It is entitled, The Antichrist Revealed. It's going to be a very climactic, exciting message that talks about, biblically, who is the Antichrist. Who is this man? Who is this system that the Bible describes as the Antichrist? We are going to be incredibly blessed as we see what the Word of God says in respect to the Antichrist. And then on Sunday night, we're going to be talking about how to postpone your funeral. I said this before, I'm going to say it now. How many of you want to learn how to postpone your funeral? And there's always those rebels who don't care. All right. I'll just tease you. How to postpone your funeral. Very important message, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be talking about our temple and how we should treat it. It's going to be very important. I pray that you would make it out these next couple of nights. Thank you so much for the invitation of being here. Laura, how many of you have been blessed by her music? Yes, amen. Well, I'm going to invite Laura up to do one more special music for us to prepare our hearts for the message.
Thank you. the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in
the Lord. Amen. This morning's message is entitled The Terrorism Behind Terrorism. The Terror Behind Terrorism. Let's bow our heads with me if you can for a word of prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, we want to thank you so much for blessing us on this beautiful Sabbath day. We want to thank you, Lord, that we have the health to be here. And if some of us, Lord, are ill, I pray that you would place your healing hand upon them. Father, I want to thank you more importantly for Jesus. He is the reason why we're here. He is the reason, Father, we have chosen to be here. And if not, Father, I pray by the end of this message, we would know why we were here. I pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to speak. For I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is behind all the terrorism we see around this world? Who is the terror in terrorism? Many people ask, if there's such a good God, why do bad things happen to good people? Who is behind all these terrorist attacks that have been happening lately? Friends, right here, or right close to here in California, we had a terrorist attack not too long ago in San Bernardino. I don't know how many of you have heard of that. But there is these two people that were married that went into a business that they worked at and started shooting people. The cops and all caught these people 7 houses away from where I used to live. Straight out of college, I moved in with a roommate, and him and I had this house on San Bernardino Avenue, 7 houses away from where they caught these terrorists. See, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter where you are, there is danger all around. Then you remember what just happened not too long ago in 2017 in Las Vegas. Nearly 1,400 people that same week were shot in the United States, followed by that mass shooting that took place in Las Vegas where 58 people were killed and nearly 500 people injured. But even in the midst of all that chaos, even in the midst of all that horror, there were two people, 1 hour before the shooting took place, that were passing out Bible tracts called GLOW. And the message they were passing out during this crisis, right before the crisis took place, was tracked by the name of Where Is God When I'm Hurting. Even before the crisis takes place, there is a Christ that already knows that it's going to take place and is doing everything he can to save us from the crisis ahead. You see, friends, the Bible talks about a terrorist who doesn't sleep, who is waging war against you and I on a daily basis. The Bible says it in Revelation 12:12. Woe to the inhabitants of where? The earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short what, everybody? He knows he has a short time. So because of the time, he is doing everything he can to ruin our lives. Many of you tonight, this morning, are suffering from the attacks of the enemy. Some of you this morning are going through things that are indescribable. People next to you don't even know what's going on, but you know this, friend. There is someone who hates you beyond measure, that wants to wipe you out. There in San Bernardino, I went around, walking around, interviewing random people, asking them, if there is a God, why is there so much pain and suffering? I want you to listen to some of their responses. Let's try it. Let's see if it works. Here's the first person.
I feel like the reason why there's pain and suffering is because if there's no pain, I feel like people wouldn't understand what love truly is. I feel like without pain, it will be hard to, I mean, like, if it's, like, just all love, people wouldn't, truly understand what love is when they don't go through, like, pain without love. I don't know. I guess that's how I think.
Okay, so this lady's response was what? There has to be pain, there has to be suffering in order for us to appreciate the good. So this is why it happens. I take it that this is her boyfriend. He was sitting kind of close to her, but I got him too. And I asked him the same question, and this was his response.
I think it's because if we believe that God is a God of love, he has to act upon love, which means that he has to give his children or his followers free will. So there's a free will for other people to choose not to act in love or to act out of love. So if God can condemn the people that's doing painful or suffering things because he loves them as much as he loves the people that's doing kind and compassionate things. So I think that's why there's so much pain and suffering, because God loves everyone so much, he has to give them free will. That's how he acts. It's out of love and out of free will.
All right, so what was his response? The reason why there's so much evil, the reason why we suffer so much is because of what? We have choice. We can make decisions on a daily basis, and the Bible says we will reap what we sow. That was his response. Now, here's one of my favorite responses. Listen to this man. You're going to maybe turn up the volume a little bit. This was on this next one was done on the iPhone 4, all right? Are you ready for this? Here we go. This brother here.
See, that's something I don't understand. It's like, because you already asked a question. They said God loves us all. Then why do some people prosper, some people don't prosper? So I just don't get it. You know, it's just too many questions. And then if he's the Alpha and Omega, yeah. If he knows my end, then what's the point of me doing anything? He knows how it's going to end. So.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
He already know. He's going to know if I'm going to give my life back to Christ. He already know it. So it's like, let it happen.
So this guy's response is, I have no control over anything. If I'm going to give my life back to Christ, it's just going to happen. Oblivious to me, I'm just going, whoa, I love God. It's just going to happen like that. Listen to this last response.
Well, first of all, in my opinion, there's not just a God of love. I mean, God is everything.
Okay.
And Satan is alive and well. And the Bible says that we're going to suffer. If we're going to go to heaven, we're going to suffer. So it's cut and dry pretty well right there. As far as the details, we don't know. And we have to have faith that what he says is going to happen.
Okay, so what was this person's response? God is a God of everything. He is a God of evil and he's a God of good. He's a God of sin and he's a God of righteousness. God is responsible for everything. And in respect to the details, we have no clue. Ladies and gentlemen, I did many more interviews. And the responses were just like this, clueless, nobody understanding why is there so much suffering. If there is a God of love, ladies and gentlemen, if we do serve a loving God, why is there so much pain and suffering? You see, when you look around this world today, you know what you see? We live in times where we see many humans, but not humanity. We live in times where the rich have more rooms than children, and the poor have more children than rooms. We live in a time where smartphones bring you closer to those who are far, but distance you from those who are close. We live in times when we open up Facebook more than the Holy Book. We live in times where a single parent can look after 10 children, but 10 children can't look after their single parent. We live in times, ladies and gentlemen, where the rich walk miles to digest their food, while the poor walk miles just to get food. We live in times where women are paid to be naked, while others have no clothes to cover their nakedness. We live in times where our contact lists are huge, but our relationships are poor. We live in times, ladies and gentlemen, where our possessions are more, but our appreciation is less. We live in times or we know how to earn a good living, but somehow forget how to live good. All around this world, ladies and gentlemen, we see signs of death and suffering. on this planet, we as humans have been threatened with unnumbered cases of diseases, famines, pestilences, and yes, death itself. And like said before, what the world needs now is not an understanding of how to stop global warming. It's not the answer for cancer or even the right president who's going to solve all the world's problems. Ladies and gentlemen, what this world needs today is not any of these things. Not a message of peace and safety. Not a message of giving you more cures for your diseases. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't need more food. We don't need more doctors. We need a revelation of God's love. You see, friends, these are temporary fixes. You could be given more food for your hunger. You could be given more pills for the diseases you have. Those are just temporary. What we need is an eternal change. We need to get out of this planet to somewhere greater. Can you say amen? Ladies and gentlemen, what the world needs now is a revelation of God's character of love. But where did all this sin and suffering begin? Where did it take place? Ladies and gentlemen, you know the story. It began in a perfect what? In a perfect place. In a perfect time. It actually began with an angel by the name of what? Come on, speak to me. What's his name? Lucifer. Now notice what the Bible says, speaking of this amazing angel. The Bible says in Isaiah 14:12, how art thou fallen from where? Heaven. O Lucifer, son of the morning. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what does the word Lucifer mean? What does the name Lucifer mean? What does it mean? Light bearer. And that's the definition in the Latin Vulgate. But I have a question for you all. How in the world did he get such a beautiful name? How many of you think that's a beautiful name? Can you raise it? Lucifer, light bearer. Isn't that nice? And some of you just tired today. All right. How many Lucifers do you know? People naming their children Lucifer. Not really. That's a beautiful name with a bad person. Now, ladies and gentlemen, why did he receive such a beautiful name? The Bible says that he stood next to someone. Who did he stand next to? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning what? So ladies and gentlemen, who did Lucifer stand next to? He stood next to Jesus, this great light bearer. All the beauty, all the wisdom, everything good that Lucifer got was not from in and of himself, but was from the Lord Jesus. Just standing next to Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, you get better. You look better. You are better. Something began to happen in the mind of Lucifer. Where did he look? At himself. The Bible says, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the clouds. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the most what? Now, ladies and gentlemen, what do you see Lucifer has a problem right now? What does he have a problem with? You see eye constantly in these verses. Lucifer had an eye infection. He had an eye infection. And when you look at the word sin, what's the middle letter of sin? You see, the root of all sin is selfishness. Wanting to please yourself. Wanting to do what you want to do. Notice what the Bible says in respect to Lucifer. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found where? In you. Now notice, your heart was lifted up because of your what? You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I will cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might do what, everybody? So what happened? The unthinkable happened in heaven. In a perfect place, in a perfect time, the unthinkable. The Bible describes that war took place in heaven. Notice what the scripture tells us. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not what? Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now notice, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives how much of the world? The whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. So who won the battle up in heaven? Jesus did. What happened to Lucifer and all his angels? Cast down. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how many terrorists fell down from heaven? Just one? Just one big angel? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us how many. Notice what it says in Revelation 12, 4 and 9. His tail drew a third of the what? Stars from heaven and threw them to the earth. He, Satan, was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out what? So ladies and gentlemen, how many angels fell down from heaven? One third. Now let me ask you a question. What did the devil use to cause a third of those angels to fall? What does the Bible say? His tail. So does that mean when the Lucifer was falling, he just threw up his tail and happened to catch a third of the angels and he brought them down? Is that how it works? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us that his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. Now, what does tail represent in Bible prophecy? It's kind of interesting. Notice that the Bible says in Isaiah 9, verse 15, the prophet who teaches lies, he is the... So the devil used his tail, which represents what? Lies, in order for those angels to fall. That's why when Jesus was on planet Earth, he told the Pharisees, you are like the father, you're the devil, who is the father of lies. You see, friends, the devil can't help but lie. So this war that took place in heaven, was it with lightsabers and all these things? Ladies and gentlemen, it seems to indicate that this war was not a typical war, hand-to-hand combat. It was more of words. Truth versus lies. And a third of the angels believed the lies of the enemy of souls. And now the devil has come down here. And the Bible says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of who? Jesus Christ. Now, friend, I have a question for you all today. The Bible says this war that the devil started in heaven, he's come down to do it here, and it's all over what? What does he hate the most? Why is he warring against God's church? Because God's church is keeping the commandments. You see, friends, the war that began in heaven was over Satan's lies. Arguing against the government of God, arguing against the character of God, and as a result, he's come down here to say, we don't need to keep the law. Why don't we need to keep it? Because he understands love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the what? The Bible says that the devil knows that the greatest way we could describe and express that we love someone is by being faithful. Can you say amen? And he knows that if we break God's law, if we somehow eliminate his law, then guess what's going to happen? We don't have the ability to truly love God. You see, the Bible teaches that God is what? God is love. And in any way that we could express that, he will destroy it. So when we do away with the law, what happens? A great controversy happens. The inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. The devil wants us to forget the law of God. And notice what the scripture says. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I also will reject you from being priests because you have forgotten the law of your what? Law of your God. The devil wants us to forget the law of God. And as a natural consequence of forgetting the law of God, what happens? The Bible says, by swearing, lying, killing, and stealing, committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon what? Bloodshed. And so the devil is getting us to forget the law of God. And as a result, what are we doing? We're swearing. We're lying. We're killing. We're stealing. We're committing adultery. Blood breaking out. Murder breaking out like never before. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in one of the worst times of Earth's history. Why? The law of God is being forgotten. It's being thrown out. And so the devil is succeeding in putting a blindfold over many Christians. Because the Bible teaches, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe what? Which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do you know what the devil's number one way of getting us deceived? You know what's the number one tool that he uses to get us deceived? It's called doubt. It's called what, everybody? How many of you have ever doubted God? We got a couple of honest people in church tonight. Have you ever doubted God? God, why is this happening to me right now? Why? God, why do I not have enough food? Or why is my child out of the church? Why is my marriage breaking up? Why did I just get in this car accident? Why do I have to go to jury duty? No pun intended. We doubt God for everything. And the devil, that's his number one tool, that if he could get us to doubt him, he has us. He's got us. He's got us in his hand. And so, ladies and gentlemen, who is the author of sin and suffering? The Bible teaches, Jesus said, the thief cometh not, that's the devil, but to steal, kill, and what? I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more what? I love this about God. God didn't just come here to give us just good life, but he came to give us a better life. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if your life is not that, don't blame God, because that's his whole purpose here in life. Can you say amen? Amen. Who's ruining your life today? It ain't God. Don't blame God. That is not his mission. That's not his purpose. It is outside his character. God came down here to give you not just life, but life more abundantly. This year marked 12 years of me serving the Lord Jesus, giving my heart over to him. Before that, I grew up in a drug abusive home. Got in trouble with the law. I've been on foot races with cops. I've had police helicopters look for me. Terrible, wretched, wicked life. And next Friday, I'll tell you all about it. But I want to tell you something about Jesus. Everything that I ever gone through in my life, talking about physical, sexual, all these abuses, I now today, after 12 years of serving him, I never once have blamed him for it. I understand that there is a devil that wants to kill and ruin my life. But if I just go to Jesus when the crisis is taking place, whatever I've gone through, he could turn it around and make it a blessing. I think of Joseph. What did his family try to do to him? What did his family do to him? They sold them into slavery. Just think about that for a second. How many of you would appreciate that? Come on, somebody speak to me tonight. Yeah, tonight. Everyone's asleep. I'm just kidding. Friend, you know what the Bible teaches? The Bible says that Joseph's testimony was this. As he was telling his brothers, after being second in command of all of Egypt and basically saving the world of the famine, you know what he told his brothers? What you did was evil, but God turned it into good to save many. Whatever crisis you're going through today, it's for the purpose of saving many. God wants to use your crisis to bring others to Christ. But if you doubt God, you're going to lose out in the blessing that God has in store in your crisis. The Bible teaches in respect to who brings on this chaos, another parable Jesus put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his what? But while men what? His enemy came, and what did he do? Sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. I want to say this right now. It is when we are sleeping spiritually that the devil takes advantage of our condition. It is when we are not alert, we are not awake, we're not watching and unto prayer, that the devil attacks us and takes advantage of us. But if our eyes are wide open and the devil comes in, we could just tell him, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. Notice what the Bible says. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the son of who? The enemy who sowed them is who? The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the what? So, ladies and gentlemen, who is the one that brought this wickedness on planet Earth? What's his name? His name is the what? is devil. Can you say amen? Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is responsible for all these plagues that are plaguing our planet. The devil is responsible for death. The devil is responsible for all the drugs that we see in this world, for all the drugs that are trying to cure us in this world. The devil is trying with all his might to take our life. I want you to see something tonight. Not tonight, tomorrow. This morning, forgive me. I am all over the place. The devil wants us to think something today. What is it? Turn to your Bibles to Job chapter 1. Turn there with me very quickly. Job chapter 1. And when you're there, let me hear a hearty, happy, I am awake, amen. Job chapter 1. I hear the sweet pages of the Bible turning. It's one of the most beautiful sounds in all the world. Job chapter 1, we're looking at verse 1. When you're there, let me hear a hearty, happy, awake, amen. The Bible says in verse 1, you know the story, but I want to bring something out that maybe you haven't seen before. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was what? In Spanish, we say Job. And the man was blameless and upright, one who feared God, and what did he do? Shunned or avoided evil. Was this guy a righteous man? Now notice in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Bible says, and the Lord said to Satan, from whence do you come from? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and avoids evil? So notice this. So Satan answered the Lord and says, does Job fear God for nothing? You have not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands. His possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand, touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to the what? How many of you are thankful that God has a hedge of protection around us? Now notice what the devil is telling God to do. What is he telling God to do? To steal, kill, and destroy. Are you all with me? Notice God's response in verse 12. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your what? Only do not lay a hand on his what? So here's the devil, and he's wanting Jesus, he's wanting God to go contrary to his character. Oh, you didn't get that. The devil is trying to get God to go contrary to his own character by saying, go ahead and kill him, steal, destroy him. But God's character is like, no, I came to give life, and life what? More abundantly. God is saying, I'm sorry, that's not my character, you do it. And so notice what begins to happen. The Bible says the devil is the author of a number of things. Notice verse 13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen are plowing and donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabians raided them and took them away, indeed they have killed their servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 17. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to do what? Who is the author of war? According to this text, it's who? It's the devil. The devil is the author of bloodshed and war. That's not it. Notice what the Bible says in Job 1:16. Notice with me in verse 16. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to do what? Skip down to verse 18. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house, and suddenly a what kind of wind? A great wind, the Bible says, came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the earth, of the house, and it found the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to do what? Ladies and gentlemen, who is the author of natural disasters? The devil. Now notice this. Notice what the Bible says happens. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell down to the ground. And what did he do? How many of you, when you are facing a crisis in your life, you praise God? Thank you, Lord, that my car just broke down. Praise the Lord. Does that typically happen, friends? When a crisis takes place in your life, the first thing you have in your mind is doubt. Why, God, are you allowing this to happen, not knowing that you are literally placing your life in the hands of the enemy of souls? But what did Job say? He started praising God, worshiping God. And the Bible says, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of who? Isn't that incredible? Wow, what kind of attitude and spiritual walk did this man have with God? But it gets worse. The Bible says in the very next chapter, you know this story, but I want you to see something. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 1, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come from? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. What kind of language is he expressing right there? This earth belongs to me. So notice what he says next. Verse 3. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant who? Job. That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without a cause. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your what? Your face. Notice what he says. And the Lord said to Satan, verse 6, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his what? Again and again, what do you see in the story of Job? You see the devil trying to test God to go against his own character. God, destroy his family. God, bring these natural calamities. God, bring war, bring bloodshed upon this man. Where God is then saying, no, that's not me, that's you. So then something happens. Notice with me in verse 7. Again, the devil's attacking, and the Bible says, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his what? Ladies and gentlemen, who is the author of sickness and diseases? There it is. So you would think he's losing everything. He just lost all his children. He's lost his home. Now he's losing his health, and the only one that's left to comfort him is telling him to die. Now watch this. This verse right here is pregnant with meaning. Watch this. The Bible says, then his beautiful wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and what? Now watch this. He said unto her, you speak as one of the what? Foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his what? Now, here's a question for you. The Bible says Job's wife is speaking like a foolish woman. What determines a fool? Who is a fool, according to the scripture? A fool saith in his heart that there is no what? Job is telling his wife, you're talking like an atheist. Don't be blaming God for this. Don't be telling me to curse God and die. There is a God. He's real and he's alive. And ladies and gentlemen, Job decided to trust him nonetheless. And so as a result, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, though he what? Yet will I what? Trust in him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, friend, we understand that sin began in heaven with an angel named Lucifer. Let's now uncover this sin that has plagued this planet. The Bible says when God created it, and behold, it was very what? Good. And the evening and the morning was the? When God created this planet, was it tainted with sin? Did it have 1 ounce of sin anywhere? No, it did not. So what happened? The Bible says that the Lord God put the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely what? But notice, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it. Nor, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, you shall surely what? Now, ladies and gentlemen, why did God put that tree there in the first place? Huh? Okay, give us choice. Very good. But even more than that, he put that tree in the garden and commanded us not to eat it. Why? To test love. To test what? Love is expressed in obedience. Yes? What did Jesus say? If you love me, what are you going to do? Keep my commandments. So here was the commandment. Do not eat from that tree. If they really loved God with all their heart, mind, and soul, were they going to eat it? No, they weren't. But the devil came in. And the very first thing he did was to place doubt in God's word. Yes? What did he say? Has God really said? You see, friends, this is the number one tool that the enemy uses to bring us down. Doubt. What is it, everybody? Doubt in God's goodness. Doubt God's character. Doubt God's word. If he could get us to do that, ladies and gentlemen, we will lose paradise. Doubt is what plagued our first parents. And doubt is what's going to stop you and I from making it to eating from the tree of life. But you know, friends, we are blaming the devil for a lot of stuff today. But you know, I want to tell you something. We are ultimately to blame for the decisions we make. Are you all with me? Okay. We know that the devil, yes, he's brought fear, he's brought anxiety, he's brought suffering, he's brought death to this world. We understand that. And when we look at this, ladies and gentlemen, the logical question that we must ask is, why doesn't God do anything about it? That's a question for you all. Why doesn't God do anything about it? Oh, you guys are scaring me today. Why doesn't God do anything about the suffering, the pain, the sickness that we go through on a daily basis as just a result of living in this world? Why doesn't he do anything about it? I hear some people, okay. He what? He has. What has he done? Ladies and gentlemen, you know my favorite prophecy in all the Bible began in Genesis 3:15. The Bible says, speaking of Jesus, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He, God, shall bruise your head, and you, serpent, shall bruise his what? So there's the first Bible prophecy in all of Scripture, and that is of a coming Messiah who's going to crush the serpent's head. Can you say amen to that? Now, friend, did he do that? Where did he do it? You know this verse already? The Bible says, and he, that's Christ, bearing his cross, went forth to a place called the place of a skull. We learned in Luke, when they were come to the place which is called what? Now, what does Calvary mean? You should know this. Cranium. So Jesus took his cross to a place called the place of a skull, and that is where the devil's head was crushed. Can you say amen? You see, friends, he took our punishment. He took our death. He has done something to all the suffering that we will ever go through. The Bible says he has done something. Then the question is, how do we overcome the devil? How do we overcome him? Notice what the Bible says. How do we overcome this great terrorist? And they overcame him, that's the devil, by the what? And by the word of their what? And they love not their lives unto the what? There is two ways, two mediums, two tools that God has given us in overcoming the devil. How many of you want to overcome him today? Amen? How? The first way is by accepting what Christ has done for you in your behalf. Can you say amen? It's by accepting a sacrifice. Ladies and gentlemen, when you accept that sacrifice into your life, when you accept Jesus as a personal Savior, it will change your life. Don't tell me that the sins you're struggling with, your God is not more powerful to give you victory over it. The Bible says the first step in overcoming the devil begins by accepting what Christ has done for you. What does the Bible say? and from Jesus Christ, who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own what? Friends, Jesus died to give us the strongest detergent ever known to man. And that detergent is what? The blood. The blood can cleanse you from any sin you're struggling with today. But what did Jesus go through? This is so powerful. Don't miss this. What did Jesus go through? Why did he die on the cross? To give me this detergent? Yes. But there's something else. Notice what the scripture says. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our what? But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without what? Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you're going through today, God went through it. And he wants to give you a way out. In fact, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of what? Ladies and gentlemen, your problems will never surprise God. Come on, speak to me. God has already gone through them. What caused Satan to fall down from heaven? Come on, speak to me. He had an eye infection. Yes? What caused the devil to fall down from heaven? He had an eye what? He had an eye problem. Are you with me today? If you're with me, can you say amen? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, what caused Jesus to fall from heaven? He has an eye problem too. He cannot take his eyes off you. The Bible says it. Notice this powerful scripture. Fear not. What's that next word? For I am with you. Be not dismayed. For what? I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Somebody out there ought to say amen. Ladies and gentlemen, devil fell down from heaven because it was all about himself. He had an eye problem. Jesus Christ came down from heaven because he too had an eye problem. The problem is he can't take his eyes off you. And this morning he wants to tell you, listen, don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm right here to strengthen you, to help you, to uphold you. Someone here today feels like you're falling. You are feeling the attacks of the terrorists right now in your life. Fear not. There is a God who knows your problems. There's a God who's entered your problems. But maybe this morning, someone's betrayed your trust. Jesus has had the same done to him. Today, maybe you've had a family that is divided. A husband or wife that has denied their vows to you through infidelity. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus has had the same. Right now, you have lost maybe a loved one, a family member or friend. God knows how it feels to lose someone he loves. He experienced it on Calvary's cross. Today, you may be experiencing the hungry for food. Jesus knows how it feels to not have food or a place to lay his head. Today you may feel alone, like no one understands or cares for the pains that you're going through today. Friends, Jesus has suffered loneliness. He has suffered betrayal from his closest friends. Jesus knows how it feels. This morning, all the problems that you are experiencing, Jesus has experienced it first. In fact, the Bible says that this led Jesus to die of a broken heart. But today, friends, Jesus wants to tell you, you don't have to die of a broken heart. In fact, what brings joy to the heart of God is you coming to him with all your problems, with all your struggles, and receiving love in your heart again for him. He doesn't just know what you're going through, friends, but he has a promise to get you through it today. Jesus wants to bring healing and restoration to your life. He wants to give back what the locusts have taken away. The devil has one purpose. uno propósito. And you know what it is? The Bible says the devil has come down to you having great what? Because he knows he has a what. Now, friends, have you ever thought, dude, what's the devil's problem? Have you ever thought about this? Why does the devil hate me so much? Man, what did I do to him? It's like this bully that keeps bullying you every single day and you haven't done anything wrong to him. Why does he keep bothering me? Why does he keep pestering me? Well, friend, you know what happened to the devil? He was kicked out of heaven. And he knows that that's our destination. And he wants to do whatever it takes to get you from getting there. But even more than that, there is a verse, friend, that I'm almost sure some of you have never seen before. You've read it, but you don't understand it. Why does the devil hate you so much? Watch this verse. The Bible, you've read it before, but notice this. I'm going to tell you the Hebrew today. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, he who touches you touches the apple of his what? Do you know what that phrase, apple of his eye, literally means in Hebrew? Why does the devil hate you so much? That phrase, apple of his eye, literally in the Hebrew, means little man. You know where that phrase comes from? You look, you get close to someone right now, and you look into their eyes, and you know what you see? A little of yourself. That's exactly what the Hebrew word is for apple of his eye. God, when he sees you, he sees a little of himself. And the devil, when he sees you, he sees a little bit of God. And as a result, friends, because he hates God, he wants to wipe that out completely. He wants to destroy your life so there's no semblance of God in your life. Today, the devil hates you beyond measure because you have a little bit of the Creator in you. How many of you today want to crush? No. Jesus crushed the serpent's head. How many of you want to finish him off? No, so the Bible says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under who? Your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with you. Can you say amen? Friend, today, God is inviting you to finish the devil off. But how do you do it? You know the trials that you're going through today? I like to tell people, trials are just aisles that lead us to Christ. You see, friends, trials are just tests to teach us to rest in him. What was the ending of Job's life? The Bible says, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he what? Prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord God gave Job how much? Twice as much as he had what? Before. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his what? I want to tell you this morning that the trial you're going through today is not to curse you, but to bless you even more. The secret of overcoming your trials, friends, is by not looking at the struggle, but looking at the solution. Not focusing on your problems, but praying for other people's problems. God wants to bless you more than you've ever had. But it's not by focusing on yourself and living a selfish life. Trials come our way so that we can learn to pray not for ourselves, but those who are suffering. And as we focus on others, God, in turn, will turn our captivity around. Can you say amen? That's what God promises. So this morning, as we close, maybe you feel like Joseph, forsaken by God. You feel like the attacks of the enemy have just made you feel alone and depressed in this world. Maybe you feel like you're a prisoner to your addictions. There is no way out, no way for Jesus to release you from the terrorist prison. Maybe the attacks of the enemy have gotten you to think that dying is better than living. want to tell you this morning, Jesus can clean you up. Jesus can help you overcome the terrors. Can you say amen? Though we have been used, we ourselves have been used by the great terrorists to kill Jesus, Jesus doesn't hold it against us. On that cross, Jesus didn't think about himself, but he thought about you. He knew that without him dying for our sins, we will be conquered by our sins. So he took our sins and allowed the great terrorists to take him out. But the good news, Jesus rose from the grave. And if Jesus rose from the grave, rose from death, God can help you rise above your problems. Don't give up, friend, today. Trust in the Lord Jesus. In the 1930s, there was a gospel musician by the name of Thomas Dorsey. Thomas Dorsey lived in a small, poor little apartment in the city of Chicago. He was living not alone, but he had a wife who was 9 months pregnant. He received a telegram to come to play in St. Louis for a little gig that would pay him some money. He had this controversy going on in his mind. His wife was due at any moment, but he had nothing to provide for his family. They were dirt poor. So he thought, what should I do? My wife could give birth any moment, but I have nothing to provide for my child. I have nothing to give for my newborn. So he decided to take the gig. He got on the next train and went over to St. Louis. After he played in this gig, he received a telegram saying, "Congratulations, you are a proud father of a baby boy. But unfortunately, your wife has died. She died giving birth." Thomas Dorsey couldn't believe it. He had money to provide for his family, but barely any family to provide for. Depressed and anxious about how to raise this child on his own, he got on the next train, went back to Chicago, went to the hospital where the baby was born, and as he entered the hospital, there was tears of sorrow, tears of joy, thinking, "I have a son, but I have no mother, I have no wife to help raise my son." Mixed feelings, mixed emotions plaguing his heart and mind. He finally made it to where the babies were. He gave his name, and the nurses began to look around. And they got really quiet. At first, they were excited. They got really quiet. The head nurse came over and said, "Dear sir, I'm so sorry to inform you, but while you were in transit, your child has passed away too. So sorry." Thomas Dorsey nearly fainted in that room. He's lost everything. What's the point of having money if the people you love the most are not there? He went back home to his poor little apartment. All he wanted to do was die. He didn't eat, and he barely drank for weeks. He looked at the piano with disgust. "I will never play anything again. I will never rejoice ever again." And as foreboding thoughts plagued his mind for weeks, thinking about suicide, thinking about ending his life for some odd reason. He went to his old piano and he penned the words to this song.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm,
being attacked. Your home is under attack. Your spiritual life is under attack. The enemy is attacking your life today. And like Thomas Dorsey, you feel like throwing in the towel. But today you want to say, God, my life is almost gone. Hear my cry. Hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. I want to have a special prayer. I want to invite those who are being attacked, those who are being plagued by the trials of the enemy in your life. Today, yesterday, you are feeling it. The fire is burning and you can't take it anymore. You feel like you need help. Today, I want to invite you to come to the front. Whoever you are, it doesn't matter. I want to pray with you. You are feeling the attacks of the enemy in your life. The terrorist is trying to get you to doubt God's goodness. Devil is trying to get you to doubt God's love. But this morning, you want to grab hold of the Lord Jesus. Who else wants to say, Lord, I recognize the terrorist is attacking me. And I need prayer. I need help. I need to refocus my eyes. Refocus my heart. I need to lean more on you. Don't be ashamed, friend. Come to the front. Come closer. Come closer so more could come. Come over here. You come as close as you want. The terrorist is attacking your life. He is wiping your faith out, or he is testing your faith. Feel like surrendering, you feel like giving up. There is times in your Christian walk you have doubted God's goodness. But today, when your way grows dear, you want to say, precious Lord, linger near. When your life is almost gone, you want to tell the Lord to take your hand. Amen. Laura's going to sing the last stanza of the song. And if there's any more that need to come up to the front, let's press together, friends. Let's press together. Let's come close. If there's any more that need special prayer, I want to invite you to come as Lois sings the last ends of this song.
When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet.
Sitting, I invite you to stand. By faith, ladies and gentlemen, whatever your situation is this morning, by faith, let us sing this song. Amen. Let us sing that God is going to get us through it. Whatever trial and struggle you're going through today, God will not leave you. Amen. So everyone look up to the screen. Lord is going to lead out in the first two stanzas of this beautiful song.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night,
Father, which art in heaven, you know the trials that we're going through today. You know the doubt that has been plaguing our minds today. But today, Father, regardless of how we feel, we know that you can't take your eyes off of us. We know today that you're saying, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will uphold you. Today, Father, we come to you with all our doubts. We come to you with all our pains. And we ask God, take our hand. There's been times in our walk where we've left you. There may be times now that we feel like turning away from you. But God, like Thomas Dorsey, even in the midst of our darkness that surround us, we see a glimmer of light that promises to grow brighter if we just focus on that. So today, we focus on the Christ and not the crisis. We ask, Lord, that you would take our hand, that when our way grows drear, we are asking, precious Lord, that you will linger near. When we feel that our life is almost gone, dear God, hear our call, hear our cry. I ask in the name of Jesus that you please, Father, fulfill these promises. Be with your church. Be with your people this morning. May you please increase our faith in the God who's never lost a battle. May we surrender our problems, our fears, our doubts today at the feet of the cross and experience the victory that only you can give. Dear God, I humbly ask that you be with these precious people today. May we not doubt your goodness. And may we hold on until you take us home. Bless these people, I pray. For I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all. Just want to say a friendly reminder. We have food for you all, so please don't go. We have food we would like to give to you all right after this, right across this way here. If you don't know where it's at, just follow the crowd. Tonight we have a message called The Antichrist. Tomorrow night we have another message called How to Postpone Your Funeral. May God bless you all. We're looking forward to seeing you all.